With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom, reach new audiences, and bring important information to the public, free of charge. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom, and donate today. Visit realitycheck.radio/donate.
The Environmental Protection Authority, EPA, has approved Dairy Lab Limited's application to produce dairy-identical proteins using genetically modified organisms, GMOs, in a contained facility. And from their press release, a bit of it anyway, the Environmental Protection Agency has approved large-scale fermentation laboratory. As I just told you, the EPA approval to Daisy Lab was done under fast track and only took 10 days to evaluate with no public notification. There was no community or stakeholder consultation. Pretty sure we had this in our Bites News when the story or the press release came out. That was on Monday. So we thought we'd get Claire Bleakley, president of GE Free NZ, in to talk about this. Claire, nice to have you back. Good to see you.
Yes, thank you so much for inviting me. It's a privilege to be here, and congratulations to being back on the air.
Well, thank you for saying that. There's a lot of love about there. That's true. A separate story. And kind of going through this before having you on now, it reminded me of a couple of conversations that we've already had where you were kind of warning of something like this occurring, you know, like with the pressure to go GMO. Now a new government who obviously feel they need to speed things up. There's the fast approval re-EPA. There is the fast-track legislation coming. Those elements coming together, I think you foreshadowed in, you know, earlier chats.
I think this is probably a test case about how it would work if the fast-track regulation is imposed on us.
Yeah.
However, the difficulty we have with this type of technology is it is in a totally contained laboratory with state-of-the-art fermentation vats. And so really the only thing that can happen is the human error.
Yeah.
However, it is found that the chemicals they use could be quite dangerous for the workers. And also the product at the end is definitely not pure. It has had a whole lot of chemicals to purify it. So it is filled with chemicals. In fact, this is not natural at all. It is totally synthetic.
We will go through what they're planning to do. But again, going back to how it started out, who would have thought that something like this would sort of, when you think of fast track, it's mining, it's building infrastructure, it's, you know, things that we can touch and feel and all that sort of stuff. But this sort of throws it right up there because it's has the potential for a lot of downside, and there seems to be no thought to thinking that through, consulting the public, showing how this is safe. Okay, you mentioned the lab, all comes down to a lab. Well, there's margin of error even there, isn't there?
Absolutely. But the other thing too is it's looking at circumventing nature, and it's also interfering with our agriculture. So it's actually trying to force us to look at pretending that what they create through synthetic laboratory techniques that are full of chemicals are the same as what we produce.
We're already doing it.
That's right.
What are they seeking to do here? I mean, I can read the words and everything. I'm trying to build a picture in my head of what they're trying to reinvent nature, obviously. What sort of products are they looking to create, and what will they be used for? I'm picking the food chain.
Okay, so Daisy Lab is really set up, by the look of it, of three women who have discovered that yeasts can be engineered to create milk proteins. And the yeasts are actually the common brewer's yeast and another common yeast. And so what they do is they're mimicking the fermentation process of many things like making beer and stuff like that. But what they've done is they've genetically engineered the bacteria right. to produce these things, because the bacteria don't normally do that. And so when you look at what are they trying to do, they're trying to really create a patented control of a food supply using a rhetoric of this is safe and aren't we beautiful, isn't it sustainable, all of those kind of climate change things.
Narrative buzzwords.
Exactly. They're spinning the narrative, but actually it has nothing to do with this. And the contamination they have the potential to cause would be far, far worse to our environment, possibly, than what we're doing naturally.
Yeah, I'm thinking that if you impose new, I guess, genetics or whatever on something like a bacteria, that then becomes part of its cycle of mutation, doesn't it? And that would normally not have been inserted in the natural world, or the chances of it are so billion to one. So that sounds like playing with fire.
Well, we know that bacteria, they conjugate, they swap genes all the time. And quite a few of the fermentation vats, when they have got to size, have actually been so contaminated that they have failed. And one of them was 1 year fermentation of a flu vaccine, to my knowledge, got so contaminated that there was no flu vaccine that they could create. So what we do know is that when it goes up to a large scale, the dangers of scaling become far worse and yeah. far more dangerous.
And you've got to scale, otherwise it's not commercially viable, I take it.
Well, let's just say if you were going to have your milk lolly, it would cost you probably $3,000 a lolly if right. you didn't have the scale.
Okay. Okay, the role of the EPA. Yeah.
Yes. Well, the EPA is really our Environmental Protection Agency, and that's its name, and it is required under the law, which is the Hazardous Substances and New Organisms Law, to regulate and legislate and look at how to allow, if it is safe, GMOs to go ahead, but also to place precautionary approaches towards them. And at this stage, the EPA, it does look like the ladies have worked with the EPA for over 2 years, and eventually they've got it through, probably because this government has changed and it's far more likely to allow it. But they've got it through without looking at the dangers of what it means. And so they've said, yes, you know, if there is a spillage, we'd like to know, if there's this. But they have not looked at what happens to the media when it's all finished. Are these bacteria, have they mutated? Have they created new bacteria? All of this. And how are they going to dispose of them? We don't know. They haven't looked at worker safety, but worst of all, they have not technically in the USA, this type of technology does not constitute as a GMO. Right. And what we're worried about is they're going to produce this, not label it, have the spin and everything on it, but it is technically made through synthetic laboratory techniques with animal, vegetable, and yeast, gloop for its culture. And then they're going to say it's good for vegans and vegetarians because the isolated part doesn't contain any animal. So ethically, this is going to be a very challenging thing for them to sell to the market they think they're going to be able to attract, I believe.
You presume they've done their research, I suppose. Do you think, so it's not classed as a GMO, this, the output of this, is that correct?
I don't know. In New Zealand, it probably would be.
Right, because of that modified bacteria.
Yes, anything that has been in vitro modified through genetic technologies is considered to be regulated. It doesn't. It just has to go through a regulation, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Or accountability to a third party like the government.
The EPA's general manager, Hazardous Substances and New Organisms, Dr. Chris Hill. I'm just reading from their release. The company, Dairy Lab, who have put this out, said precision fermentation has the potential to offer significant savings in land use, water use, and reduction in carbon footprint. We could talk about those three things. But should the EPA be endorsing a concept at all, an EPA manager? I mean, that sounds like you're promoting something. You're the gate guard, aren't you, normally?
All the recommendations and approvals by Dr. Chris Hill have always been in favour of GMOs. Yeah,
but that's not the role, is it?
It shouldn't be the role, but, and this is our concern, we believe he's too close to the industry to actually be able to stand back and look with an unbiased eye. And in that, he has missed a whole lot of safeguards for the public he is supposed to protect.
Yeah. He's not there to promote the company. You'd think that a better response would be, and what do I know, would be, well, let's see, and nothing more than that. I don't want to hear happy talk. I just want to hear that, you know, that we can trust these people to have a very fair, impartial eye over it, and it will stand or fall on not the hype of the new thing, but, you know, the reality of it. I was just wondering what you'd think about that. All right. The other part of this, of course, we talked about for this fast track approval bill. Now, your organization, GE3NZ, and the Food Environment also opposing this bill. From submissions, thinking from both groups, you'll be aware, what are the key points that really make you want to jump up and down?
Okay, so GE3 New Zealand spoke to the select committee yesterday, and our main concerns were the unfettered powers to approve the projects in the hands of the three development ministers, but also the exclusion of public participation and the breach of natural justice.
Yeah, well, that all sounds like what should be there.
No.
How do you think they've come to this then? It's like a steamroller going over something.
Okay, what has happened is we have got, as we were mentioning before, in the Hazardous Substances and New Organisms Bill, we've got a really strong protective legislation that looks at all those risks. And if there are risks, they have to be looked at and scientifically seen whether they are dangerous. They have to be contained. Now, with this, the ministers, as in Judith Collins, has basically says we're going to loosen the laws and lift the ban on GE. There was never any ban. And the fast track bill has the possibility that one of these ministers can all get together and say we actually can rewrite legislation and totally overlook the effects on the environment, the any adverse consequences, and we can rewrite it and allow large industry to get a toehold. So this really is yet again looking at corporate interests, as you always say, follow the money, and the lobbying of the ministers. The other thing is these ministers don't even have to declare any conflict of interest.
So they could own shares, and apart from declaring it on their pecuniary list or whatever it is, they could have interests obvious or behind the scenes, and it's like insider trading potentially.
Oh, absolutely. But we also know that the three ministers that have been identified, like Shane Jones, he has made no, what would I say, he's never, ever stepped back from saying that the only way we can make New Zealand healthy is to do mining, to open up everything to mining. And that has environmental and really serious repercussions.
I don't know if he went that far, to be fair, Claire. It's just that if there are any projects and they make sense, to not automatically have the kill switch on it through some sort of ideology. But fair point. And you get the enthusiasm factor as well. We've got to be watching out for that, because if you're getting on the news saying we're making New Zealand move again and that feedback loop is operating, probably, you know, you're going to want to have that good news. And the media not being that informed and capable of doing a deep dive like, well, we're kind of doing here, it can work, you know. You see how it works.
No, because I do believe that the political decisions or the political policies that these ministers will follow will be party political, not across the board good for Aotearoa.
That's my point. They'll maybe consider passing this if this bill passes and it comes down to three ministers. You know, that if it all gets them good coverage and a bump of, hey, next time someone sees you, hey, thanks for working for New Zealand, mate, good on you, then you might just not look at any of that, you know, too hard stuff. And, I think you've described it, hit it like hitting the rubber stamp. They'll be rubber stamping, you know, boom, 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 no matter what, you know?
Yep, absolutely. Well, there is another thing that comes back into this the EPA decision on the Daisy Lab approval is in the amendment of the legislation. They have actually said that they will only consult a certain amount of people, right?
Would that include you?
No, it does not include the public. It does not open it for notification. But then later on, they say that any person can challenge or take to the High Court a decision.
How much
but
does that cost?
You've got to be a submitter to have done that. Do you see what I mean? So we sit there going, we can't enter the process, but we also can't challenge it in any way. And the other thing too is if we could challenge it, we've got to pay for it.
Yeah,
we haven't got the money.
Yeah. They know that too.
Yeah, and they know that. So this is an absolute loss of democracy. And the other thing that makes it so bad is that the people here will have a variation of ideas. So everybody can have their input. Yep. So if they support it, they can support it. So it's not just help. We need to have all these things to look at. It actually is democracy. It allows everybody's voice to be heard, not just corporate industry that are trying to get into Aotearoa for the sake of private profit.
All right. I think we've got a pretty good view of it. And let's see what happens. But it makes me feel uncomfortable, I've got to say. You know, and people's enthusiasm can sometimes just go too far. So Claire Bleakley, president of GE Free NZ, thanks for coming back on RCR. Claire, thanks for the kind words at the start, and we'll follow this.
Thank you. And I just hope that everybody who listens to this does actually look at our website to find out why we have those concerns. And our website is www.gfree.org.nz.
If Reality Check Radio enriches your day and life, support us to keep bringing you the content, voices, perspectives, and the dose of reality you won't get anywhere else. Visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate.